Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, for strangely enough, I'm having technical difficulties again with our title song. So we're just going to get rolling here. I'm not exactly sure why it's not coming on, but welcome everyone to the Football Garbage Time Podcast, preseason week 2 edition. I'm Huck Finn Wong, the editor-in-chief of the Football Garbage Time, and with me today are senior staff writers Ryan Whitfield and Joey Alibro. How are you doing, guys?
Great.
Yeah, I'm doing good. How about you?
So I take it that you guys, and I know we talked about this before the show a little bit, that you guys took a break from watching the preseason games to see this crazy story about U.S. swimmer Ryan Lochte lying about being robbed at gunpoint in Rio. And I heard, and one of you guys said that there's an upgrade, an update on Instagram?
He posted a letter of some sort saying, you know, what he did was wrong, and then he wanted to thank the people of Brazil for his time in Rio and everything. So.
Yeah, it is absolutely insane. I have to say that he went through all that because ultimately all he did was pay for damages to a restroom, which was $50. I think it amounted to about $51. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. I swear he almost
It's all because he lied.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, it's all because he lied to his mom. It's all because he lied to his mom.
Yeah, exactly,
mom
right. It's bad thing.
Right.
He underestimated how much his mom was connected to the press. I swear, that move almost makes Johnny Football look like a guy who makes good life decisions. It's unbelievable. All right, let's jump on to the NFL preseason games from week 2 and our takeaways. Quick rundown, Eagles beat the Steelers 17-0, Bengals beat the Lions 30-14, Packers beat the Raiders 20-12, the Patriots beat the Bears 23-22, Browns lose to the Falcons 24-13, and the Vikings beat the Seahawks 18-11. So Joey, let's start with you. What's your first takeaway from this second set of preseason games?
Well, my first takeaway is the small glimmer of hope we saw in Cleveland last night. Robert Griffin III looked pretty good. He looked in his 2012 form and he won Rookie of the Year. Gary Barnage had a pretty good game, and I'm pretty sure we all saw Terrell Pryor's burning of Desmond Trufant for a 50-yard score.
Yeah.
That was beautiful. The run game struggled a bit, and the defense struggled, but the quarterback situation was probably the biggest question mark in Cleveland, and to have that go even okay was a pretty big step forward for that team.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that one. That actually was one of my takeaways as well. I mean, it was very impressive what we saw there, particularly from, I thought, Terrell Pryor. You know, he's only had one season as a wide receiver and had only one catch last year. And already through two preseason games. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, like, the fact of the matter is that he's already three for five for 107 yards and a touchdown. Some really long passes, really great connections with RG3. Ryan, did you have any thoughts on the Browns?
Yeah, I'm high on a RG3 renaissance here this year, so I can't fathom how somebody could go from being that dynamic in the NFL over a year to the way he's looked the last couple of years. So, you know, I thought it was impressive to see last night, and it was definitely he still has the touch on the long ball, obviously.
Yeah, I was very impressed. And if you think about the fact that they have rookie Corey Coleman coming into the mix, and that on week 5 they'll have Josh Gordon back, perhaps in better shape than he was when he started camp. And you have RG3 looking much more like his first year in the Redskins than his last couple years. This is an offense that I think will be as good as the Derek Anderson Cleveland Browns offense almost 10 years ago in 2007. I wouldn't sleep on the Browns this year. I think that's a pretty big takeaway that Joey introduced. Any other thoughts on the Browns before we move on to the next takeaway?
I think they're still a couple of years away, but you know, this is definitely a good step. Hiring the guy from Cincinnati, the coach.
Oh, Hugh Jackson. Yeah, Hugh Jackson.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think he's done a great job so far.
Oh yeah, he's done. He's made something out of nothing. Plus, keep in mind, he's the guy who asked Terrell Pryor to switch from quarterback to wide receiver after cutting him from Cincinnati as a quarterback. He actually told him he should convert to wide receiver and that he would pick him back up, and he did exactly that. So good for him.
Yeah, I like the direction the Browns are going and everything with the analytics and hiring Paul DePodesta, the former Mets executive.
Moneyball, yeah.
Yeah,
great. So. Very interesting. It's actually working for them. All right, Ryan, tell us, what's your first takeaway?
Yeah, my first takeaway is going to be the way Jimmy Garoppolo played last night. I think I graded his performance in week one a little bit better than a lot – or more favorably than a lot of people around here did. He had a slow start last week, but it was good to see the progression into week two. I didn't think he was as bad as some people thought he was week one, but it was definitely a little bit of an uptick last night. 12 of 21, 181 yards and a touchdown. The touchdown pass he made to Derby over the middle was just an absolute rope. And that's a confident throw right down the seam into traffic and put beautiful touch on it. So, as a Patriots fan, and I've said this for a while that this week was another week, and as was the last 2 weeks during these joint practices, Jimmy has been not very impressive in practice in these joint practices, but that's kind of been his MO over the last two years here, is that he does have up and downs, and he's not very good in practice, and then he comes out and the lights come on and he plays better. So for whatever reason, some guys are like that, and that is apparently how Jimmy is, because people were worried he kind of plateaued, and I think last night was a further sign of the progression that he's making.
Yeah, I have to agree with the fact that he actually looks like a solid game manager. I mean, he doesn't have to really do much more than that because the Patriots are so good at scheming and so good at preparing for games. I think this is a great move, actually. He took the safe pass most of the time, short passes, and he moved the ball down the field. He didn't get stuck behind the line with too much scrambling or anything like that. He found what he needed and he went for it. Aside from the really pretty nice pass to Derby, I think that he actually looked like a solid game manager, and they have a really good shot of moving forward with that. Any thoughts on that, Joey?
Yeah, that was one of my takeaways. Garoppolo's game, 16 of 21. This is a good sign for the Patriots. Definitely going to be worried about my courageous conjecture from last week that the Steelers will be the number one seed, because I think now that the Patriots will go 3-1 in their first four games, Garoppolo at the helm. But, yeah, I think it's a really good sign there for you, Ryan.
Yeah, the other thing I have to say I took away from this game, since we're already on the Patriots, is that LeGarrette Blount did not look bad. He actually looked relatively solid. He averaged, over 6 yards per carry. He had that nice, he had a nice 21-yard run. He had a touchdown. I mean, he actually looked pretty solid throughout that game. Any chance you're going to retract your statements on LeGarrette Blount, Ryan?
Absolutely not. I've loved LeGarrette over the years, but LeGarrette Blount is. He's great if you don't have a defensive line that can get in the backfield. If he can get a couple yards of steam, he's the kid. As long as he's the biggest kid in the playground, he'll bully the hell out of you. But if you get in there and hit him when he's trying to do his little tap dance in the backfield, he goes down like a sack of potatoes every time. So
okay.
Same old story with him, and he's a half step slower now.
Right, and no Deion Lewis, obviously, in the backfield, so I'm sure things will change once they get him going. Of course, I will flip over to the other side of that and talk about Jeremy Langford. I think he actually looked really solid as well. It's pretty clear to me now that he's going to lead the Bears in carries. Howard did get mixed in, but it was after Langford was off the field. Maybe it'll be kind of a 65-35% split, but like I said, Langford, 8 for 55, touchdown. He had a long run of 34 yards. He was playing against first-teamers. I thought it looked pretty good. I was feeling pretty solid about the fact that Langford was actually going to come around and be a solid contributor for the Bears this season. So, any other thoughts on the Bears and Patriots before we move on to the next takeaway?
Yeah, the only thing I would caution you on with the Langford talk is that Alan Branch was out last night, as was Terrence Knighton. So a little bit of a thinner interior defensive line for the Patriots. Even though they played their ones, they didn't have their two of their three best defensive tackles in there.
Fair point. Kuhn started, right?
Kuhn? Sorry, what?
Marcus Kuhn. Marcus Kuhn started last night
as
defensive tackle
Kuhn
for the Patriots. Yeah,
started next to
He might be the worst defensive tackle in football, though. He was on the Giants for a good stretch, and wow, that pathetic play. I don't know.
All right.
They picked him up, so who knows.
So, Harry, so that leads us to another takeaway here, and I'm going to introduce this one. Bengals and Lions. Actually, I want to talk more about the Lions and actually about Marvin Jones. It's one of the big free agent pickups in the summer. It's interesting because of the fact that, never thought of Marvin Jones as a big free agent, but turns out he might actually turn out for them. And across the first two preseason games, 5 of 6 for 81 yards. Detroit Lions website actually reported several weeks ago that Jones is becoming Stafford's favorite target. You got Golden Tate returning. You got Anquan Boldin kind of joining in the slot. But Jones actually may be their difference maker that they're looking for to fill that void left by Megatron's retirement. You know, he's never broken 1,000 yards in Cincy. He totaled 712 in 2013. Then he was injured. Then he got 816 yards in 2015. But keep in mind, he scored 10 TDs in 2013. So there's a possibility here he maybe have a 1,000-plus yard season with about 6 TDs, plus or minus 1 or 2. That could be a lot. That could be enough to keep the Lions pseudo-relevant. Any thoughts on the Lions or Marvin Jones?
Yeah, I'm not taking the cheese on them. I'm just not taking the cheese on them. Any year where Mohamed Sanu and Marvin Jones are high free agent wide receivers, that just means you have a bad free agent class. And there's a phenomenon that if you look into except from Corey Dillon, pretty much anything that the Bengals have touched has turned into crap, even when it's left and gone other places. So I expect that to hold true in both those guys. It's nice that he's his favorite target, but I think Golden Tate will be receiving the bulk of the work there this year.
Yep.
Okay. And
I agree.
Joey?
Okay. Yeah, Marvin Jones will be the third receiver in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, he was kind of like second, third. There really wasn't a second or third. I mean, after A.J. Green, it was basically.
Sanu,
Right. I mean, Sanu is nothing special. I mean, I like Marvin Jones a lot better than I like Sanu. If nothing else, he has better hands. I think Sanu actually is kind of passed. He's kind of a replacement level wide receiver in my mind. But it's something for the Lions folks to actually. Maybe Lions fans will actually get something to cheer about this year. I can't say much more than that. All right, guys, we're running down to the short straws here. So, tell me any last thoughts before we sign off for this week. Any last thoughts about the second preseason games, Ryan?
Yeah, my last one would be about your coach there. He is elevated himself.
Okay, here we go.
Most of the coaches. I cannot stand John Fox. He's right up there with Jeff Fisher of these vaunted and ordained perennial winners who have never won a thing in their life. So, and just watching him with his little pissant face last night, storming up and down the sideline, yelling at the refs nonstop. He's above Rex Ryan. Jeff Fisher won, and it's now John Fox too.
Okay, don't come on. Jeff Fisher is way worse. Are you kidding me, Joey? How about you? What do you think?
John Fox. I said to Ryan on Twitter, he was comparable. His freaking out was comparable to Jim Caldwell's emotional
right.
Role, it's bad. My takeaway for the final here is Eddie Lacy looks like he's been staying away from the cookie jar. Dropped some weight, and he had a pretty good first series against whoever they played. They had a 14-play drive to open the game. And nine of those were runs to him, including a 20-yarder. So that was a good sign, not to put it all on Aaron on the offense for the next season.
I totally agree with that. I was going to mention that too. P90X really working for our buddy Eddie Lacy. We're down to the end of our show this week. It's a nice short one. So everybody, thanks to Ryan. Thanks to Joey. Please follow them on Twitter. Please follow us on Twitter, footballgarbagetime.com. And we will be back again next week with more highlights from the preseason. Thanks a lot, guys.